right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us here in worship, and we're going to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you're going to be able to help us do that. The first couple of songs are going to be sung by young children, very young children, but they're common worship songs, and we're going to ask you while they're singing them, would you, when they get to the chorus, will you jump in with them and will you sing that? Because if you don't sing with them in those, that you're going to miss the, you'll not have another chance this morning to sing and worship, right? And one of the things we taught the young people, we always teach the young people, the reason we praise the Lord, or there's a thousand different reasons, but people who praise the Lord, they're doing something humble, because honestly, when we praise the Lord, we're saying, I don't take credit for all the good in my life. I'm thankful that God's been moving in my life and he's been so very good. And anyway, we're just so grateful that you're here, and we're going to ask you to jump in with that. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, please bless our efforts today to lift your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 95:6. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Here I am to worship.
Teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll follow you. Jesus, you my hope and saving. What I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. I want to defend my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
I don't know, but I'm Jamez. When I first came, I was very far away from God. I really didn't know him. I probably only went to church like twice a year. And I was very scared when I first came. I didn't know anybody here. It made me nervous to see like there's like older kids than me that I'm like was with on a daily basis. And I was kind of nervous that I was away from my mom, but later, there were a couple kids in my house that comforted me, and house parents, and I got comfortable around them, and like a couple months later, they're all gone. I was going through new house parents like every month probably, and then there was finally one house parent that came for a while. I got a new kid in my house. He ended up leaving, and then we got another one, and it was very weird to have him in my house. It was very weird because I didn't really get along with him well. Matter of fact, we would fight a lot, and I was very defensive here when I got here. And I had Miss Tina Marie. She helped me with like anger, just like going off on people, like physically, and I learned to control it more. And during like winter, I forgave a lot of people who hurt me, like abusively, called me a lot of names. And that winter break, I trusted God as my Lord and Savior, and I felt very like a new person. I felt like I was a lot closer, and I was able to go to him when I really needed him. I wasn't scared to just break out and pray in moments. My sister was also scared. She was very nervous. She was very defensive also, because many people would call her names, and it made her very mad, and she would always come on visitation crying, and it made me very sad to see that. So I told her, if you're scared and you're mad after the con, just go to your room, pray. And I had to adapt that in my life. I would just go to my room, and it would just make me feel better seeing that I didn't have to physically hurt them. For me to feel better, I just had to talk to one person that really understands me. Thank you for listening.
I've had a dollar
to my name. I've had friends who walked away, and I've even lost myself a time or two. There were bridges crossed and burned, but through all the wreckage I have learned, there is one thing that I can never lose. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I can never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I've got it all. Failures met with grace, and it's not from what I've done, it's Christ in me. A miracle I can't explain, oh, he's given me his name, and I'm the richest one that I could ever be. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I can never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I got Jesus, I've got it all. Someday that trumpet's gonna sound, and the King of Heaven will ride upon the cloud coming down. And I'll hit my knees, oh Lord, then sings my soul, I'm going home. If I've got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, a joy that I can never hide, and a safe place to fall. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all.
Sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. Can't tell you what's in store. I don't know what to think. I don't have all the answers to the questions of why, but I know in whom I have believed. But He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. He knew who I was when He carried my cross. He knew that I would fail Him, but He took the loss. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name.
Good morning. Could the ushers please come down? Please remember our service this evening in the fellowship hall. The bulletin says next week, but homecoming will be 2 weeks from today on September 7th at 10:30 a.m. There will be no Sunday school or evening service that day, and Brother Snyder Turner will be preaching that morning, and we will have Deborah Perry and Jaden's call with us in the service providing special music. Our homecoming flyers are by the organ. Please take some and invite others to the service. There are also sign-up sheets for food. Please sign up for what you plan to bring, and remember, bring enough for your family and more. Please take the bulletin to stay on top of our announcements and prayer requests. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning, giving us another day to where we can live and serve you, God. I pray that you would be with us today in the service, Lord, that you would let the worship, Lord, be all for you, God, and let the message speak to us, Lord, and help us to share it with our friends and our family, God. Let us stick with us in our hearts and our minds, Lord. And I pray that you would watch over us all as the rest of the day and throughout this week, Lord, that you would help us to stay focused on you, Lord, and that we can draw closer to you each and every day, God. We love you, we thank you, and praise you. In your precious holy name I pray. Amen.
Tomorrow.
every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Heart and lead me in your love.
seconds. Since you've been seated so long, would you stand to your feet? And I'm going to ask her to sing that chorus a couple times. Would you sing that with her? Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Just do it a cappella. Here we go. You ready?
Holy,
sing it with her.
There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
One more time to the Lord.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. There is most assuredly no one like him. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ruth. And while you find your place there, can I ask you a question? Does this church have precious young people or what? Do you know that every single person that participated, except for Randy, is 17 years old or younger? Did you know that? Uncle Randy's not that much older than 17, but all of those young people stood up and shared their gift with you. If that song goes with you, it's going to help you a bunch. I could say about our young people, I'm telling you, you would steal our kids if you could. We got a couple you'd bring back if you stole. You probably have those in your family too, but honestly, what a blessing you were today, and I pray that maybe after the service you can let them know just how very much that they were a blessing to you. If you want to get to know the young people, there's a couple of unique opportunities right now that are going on in our church. In our Wednesday night services, we are gathering. The young people start at 6:30 and do their game times and activity, and then we all join together. We've been meeting in the first Sunday school on the left, and some of the adults in that room have said to me, the best part of that is the young people come in and the hugs that we get afterwards, and it's a great way to unify. Also, every single Sunday night at 5 o'clock, we meet downstairs in the fellowship hall, and we have our church service down there, and we share a meal together. And how can you get to know somebody better than sharing a meal together? And you'll be fortunate if you get to spend a little time with those kids. They're a blessing. On a selfish note, I will tell you that all of those kids that sang today grew up in the children's home or are children of someone who grew up in the children's home. And what a blessing is that today? You know, how about that? Ruth is one of those stories in the Bible. It's one of the times, many times in the Bible, where God is sending a message to us, Oakland, that if we would just walk with God, we would win. That message is sent throughout the scriptures. Do you believe that today? If you would try things God's way, you would win. Let me ask you a question. Who's the godliest person you know? Picture him in your mind. The godliest person you know, do they have some strength in their life that other people don't have? Do they have some peace in their life that other people don't have? Do they have some hope in their life that other people... What's the godliest family you know? The godliest family you know, I promise you, is the winningest family that you know. Those that don't fight, but they love each other and care for each other and try things God's way. Think about it. When a person gets saved, think of this. The Bible says we go from death to life, from lost to found, from blind to now I can see. Doesn't that sound like winning? Walk with God. Trust Christ as your Savior, and you will win. The Children's Home has an incredible family friend that is Indian. They're not Indian like, whoa, 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 but they're Indian like from the nation of Indian. If I was an Indian, I would be like Chief Big Shadow or something. You know what I mean? Chief Hungry Bear, right? They're not that kind of an Indian. They're a family from India. And what you know, in India, the primary religion is Hindu. More than a billion people believe that the cow could be their nana, right? I mean, they literally believe that through reincarnation, they could be bumping into that. But this family, the Ambat family, is precious, and they are believers in Jesus Christ, and they have a very gifted daughter, Rachel, who I've had here give one of her great monologues, and she puts much of the scripture to music, and she writes these plays. If you've ever been to one of Rachel's plays, would you raise your hand? How many of you guys have been to one of Rachel's plays? Unbelievable. I mean, in intellect, like a 140 IQ. These people are up here, way over my head. And I asked Mr. Ambat one day, who's an older Indian man, I said, how did this family from India come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? How did it happen that you guys became Christians? And here's what he said to me. He said, God opened my eyes How did your family come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? God opened my eyes. Listen to what I'm about to say to you, dads. If you want to be a dad one day, if you are a dad today, did you know that if a dad is the first person to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, 90% of the time, their entire family will follow? Walk with God, dad. Walk with God. If you're a young person and you dream, do you love your kids already, even if you don't have kids? Walk with God so that they can experience life. The opposite is true for moms. This is crazy, but it's true. If a mom is the first to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, this is not my thoughts. This is just studies that are published. It is always less than 30% of the time that families will come to know Jesus Christ and follow the Lord. It is so important when a dad is walking the way he was created to, leading his family in righteousness and goodness. It's so good for the family. But in the story of Ruth, we have a dad that is leading his family away from the plan of God. Why shouldn't you do that? Why shouldn't you lead your family away from the plan of God? Because God is light, God is life, God is love, God brings hope and guidance and direction. And if you leave your lead your family away from God, you're leading them into those broken things. And you have a dad who's leading his family away from God's plan, and you have a mother who finds herself crawling back to it. It's the precious story of Ruth. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in chapter number 1. We'll read the first 5 verses. Can we get them on the board? Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 1 through verse number 5. We'll preach a little bit as we go. And the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled." That's an important time marker in the scriptures. We're going to go back to that. What is God saying to us? When judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, that's an important word. He's from Bethlehem. What's significant about Bethlehem? You know, what's significant about Bethlehem? Well, Jesus was born there, but it's a town in the promised land. This man is part of the Jewish family. He is part of the people of God. He lives in the promised land. Remember what we said, it's the time of the judges, so the walls of Jericho have already fallen, the River Jordan has already stood up. They're in what God has for them. They're in the place they're supposed to be, but the Bible says there's a famine there, and this man went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. This is a guy who's leaving what God has for them. It was God's will for them to live in the promised land, but he's decided because of the famine, he'd like to go pick some crops in the land of Moab. The Bible actually said, God said of Moab, "Moab is my washpot." I mean, it's like a Taco Bell compared to a Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, it is like the low, 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 right? It is potted meat compared to a T-bone steak, right? Follow me with that. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And the Bible says in verse number 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion." We're going to talk about names a little bit today. "Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came in the country of Moab and continued there." They didn't just visit where they weren't supposed to be. They decided to stay there for a while. The longer you stay where you're not supposed to be, the more broke things will get. Verse number 3 says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons." That was a costly, costly field trip for Elimelech. Verse number 4 says, "And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Verse 5 is unbelievable. And the Bible says, "And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women and the woman, excuse me, that's Naomi, the wife, was left of her 2 sons and her husband." There is a lot of pain packed in these 5 verses. There's not really a way that we could get it to anchor to our soul today, but I will just tell you this. This woman started with a family of 4, and now she is left all by herself alone as far as her family. I remember years ago when my 46-year-old brother-in-law died on Christmas Day, I was sitting at a funeral home beside him, and my sister-in-law, Andi, looked over at me. She's a very educated and smart, intelligent woman, and she looked at me in this most bereft way, and she said, "Brian, I grew up in a family of 6. I'm in my 30s, and there's only 3 of us left. How did this happen?" And I remember just the sorrow that she was feeling. I could see it. And for Naomi, her sorrow is even greater. She's lost everything. Literally, she has lost it all. And her sorrow is self-inflicted, not by her, but by her family's choices. Because this road of brokenness that they're experiencing is paved with horrible, horrible decisions. First thing we remembered was the Bible says this happened in the time of Judges. Does anybody remember what the last verse of the book of Judges says? Does anybody remember it? Give you a dollar. The Bible says, and there was no king in the land, so everybody did what was right in their own eyes, right? In this time, there was no standard. We're not going to do things God's way. We don't have anybody ruling over us, so I'll do what's right for me, and you do what's right for you, and we'll just see how that goes. And do you know what the reality of it is? Whenever you play a game where there is no rules, or the rules apply to one team and not the other, or you can break the rules, it is total chaos. And when we make the rules, we always make them to favor ourselves. When Republicans are in power, what do? They gerrymander the lines. When Democrats are in power, they gerrymander the lines. It's just what we do as humans, right? And we do things to favor ourselves, and it is broken. And the time of Judges was a time of complete abdication of doing things God's way. And when we don't do things God's way, we experience what God did not intend for us to experience. Do you remember about 10 years ago, it happened in this country where you couldn't say anything about certain things God said were way out of bounds? About 10 or 12 years ago, I think it was 2015, when homosexual marriage became legal in the country. And in that time period, it became very taboo. And if you said anything about homosexuality or transgender or sexual immorality in any way, shape, or form, you know what you would be called? You are intolerant. You're wrong. Even if you're just saying, this is bad for us, don't embrace this, this will hurt us. No, you are intolerant. But you know what the reality of the situation is? All of us have an intolerance. I mean, not just the folks who are in this church today, but we all have an intolerance for things that offend us, right? We all do. Let me ask you a question. Should somebody be allowed to smoke a cigarette in the lung cancer ward of the hospital? Is that tolerable to you? Huh? Should a convicted sex offender get to be a kindergarten teacher? Huh? No, but you know what happens? We begin to say it's intolerable when it begins to affect me. When you say something that says, hey, this is God's law, but it affects me, we start to say, hey, wait a second, I can't tell you what's right for you, and you can't tell me what's right for me. And I can just tell you from my own personal life experience, in every single family I look to, including the one I grew up in, when we start defying God's laws and making things up and doing things any way that we want to, we experience brokenness. I remember about 25 years ago, my mom was going through a divorce. My mom decided she didn't have Bible reason, but she decided she was going to divorce my dad. And I remember in that period, I cared for my mother. She's a sweet and kind woman, and she had great needs. She hadn't got the divorce settlement yet, and she came to Melita and I. We hadn't been married just a couple of years, and she said, hey, Brian, hey, I need some furniture. I got to have some things. I've moved out. I'm divorcing your dad finally, once and for all. They had split up 20 times before that, but now was the time she actually divorced him. And she said, hey, could you just give me some of the furniture that you got and help me out this way? And I wanted to help my mom, but I had to just pause in my spirit, and I'll never forget. I was at the off-duty house of the children's home. At the time, I didn't own a home. We were off-duty. And I went in a side room of the children's home, and I lay prostrate on my face, and I said, God, how can I, what's going, I don't understand this situation. It's so painful. Can I help my mother? And God is my witness. God said to me, do I ever change? And he said it in almost like a condescending way. Do I ever change? You know what he was saying to me? He was saying, are you really asking me if you should help your mother defy me? That's what he said to me. And in the subsequent weeks that followed after that, because that was not God's will for that family, I saw my mom struggle after the third or fourth person that she had connected to. I literally moved her out of a house while the guy sat on the sofa and watched me, and everything she owned fit in the back of my truck. And this brokenness. I think of the times I've gone to men who were going to have an affair. And I can remember one specifically, and I always say the same thing. A lot of times the wife will call and she'll say, Brian, and she's tore up from the floor up. And she's like, could you talk some sense into him? And I walk in the room and I always say the same thing. I say, you told her parents you were going to take care of her. Her dad walked her down the aisle and gave her to you. Don't do this, man. Don't do this. And fast forward 10 years, you know what you see on Facebook? 10 years you see on Facebook, hey, I get to see my kids this weekend. I'm going to get to see my kids this weekend. This pain and suffering did not have to happen. You could have tried things God's way. I think of families where the children are so rebellious and so difficult. Well, think about a family where a child screams at their parent, just screams at their parent, and let their parent have it. That's not God's will. You know what God's will is? God's will is for you to honor your father and mother. God's will is for you to literally obey your parents while you're a child in their home. And when you do that and you scream at them, you're stepping way outside the boundaries, and it creates chaos. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know what's crazy about the children's home right now? I've been there 25 years. We probably got the most successful group of kids we've ever had in my career. We got a group of kids that are not challenging their house parents. They're not defiant. They're chasing dreams. They're trying to walk with God, at least in that area with parents, and they're cooperative. And it is beautiful, and it is peaceful, and it is good. And you're seeing some dreams get caught in that way, right? It is so good for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So they live in the time of Judges. Everybody's doing their own thing. Elimelech says, I'm leaving God's plan. It didn't work out good for him at all. Second of all, we notice in the text, the Bible says there's a famine. This is so important. Why would there be a famine in the promised land? Bible scholars, do you know why? Why would there be a famine in the promised land? Remember, God said to those people, if you walk with me, I'm going to blow your doors off with goodness. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, if you'll get it on the board, just a couple of verses. I think it's verse number, where's my Bible verses? If you will, go with me, Deuteronomy chapter number 28, verse number 12 and 13. And this is what God said to them about walking with God in the promised land. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do them. God had said to them, walk with me. Try my ways, you will be so blessed. There's another place where he says blessings will overtake you. Can you imagine being tackled by blessings? Come to Calvary Children's Home sometime, and you'll see what it looks like to be tackled by blessings. Literally, it has happened. But in this instance, because they have not walked with God, this very same chapter says, but if you rebel against me, then you will experience a powder and dust for rain. That literally the rain will not come. And so they're experiencing this famine because of the wickedness that's in the land. And Elimelech is just exactly the guy the country needs. And why would I say that this man who moved out is exactly who he needs? Do you know what Elimelech's name means? This is what his parents named him. His parents named him, My God is King. In other words, his parents, obviously, when he was born, they were blessed of God, and they thought, my God is King, and they named him this name, and he's exactly the right guy because he could come to understand what you and I can understand. What you and I know to be true is it can be so dark in the world, but I can have light in my family. It can be so dark in the world, but I can have light in my marriage. It can be so dark in the world, but I can have light in my company. It can be so dark in the world, but I can have light in my church. It can be so dark in the world, but we can have light in our fellowship. Is that not true? And Elimelech needs to understand, you can bring the help of God to your neck of the woods. We're about to meet another character, Boaz, who did that very thing. Walk with God, this man whose name, my God is King, don't leave. But instead of repenting and saying to the people, listen, guys, remember what the Bible says. Deuteronomy said if we would walk with God, he'd send the rain. Deuteronomy says if we'd walk with God, he would bless our crops. Turn around from this thing, Elimelech could have said. Instead of repenting, he is running. He is running away from God. And all of that is leading to this ruin in their life. And if you think about this thing that he's done to his children, he's not just run himself, but he's carried his family far away. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me just tell you, if you walk away from God, it is much more likely that your children are going to fall into a trap. Did you catch what I just said? If you walk away from God, it's much more likely that your children are going to fall into a trap. What did Mahlon and Chilion do? Remember what they did? The Bible says they married the women of Moab. What were they forbidden to do? They were forbidden to marry somebody that was not from the land of Israel because God said, I don't want them to be drawn away to the other gods. He forbade them to do that. But what were Mahlon and Chilion to do? That's where they lived. And these were where their girls were. And so they fell into that trap. He's led them away. But look at what he named those children. Do you know what Mahlon means? This is kind of funny, actually. Do you know what Mahlon means? The word Mahlon, the name Mahlon means sickly. He named his child Sickly. Isn't that crazy? CJ, just to be honest with you, a lot of times in Bible times, they name children kind of like what was going on. There's a story of Esau and Jacob, do you remember? And the Bible says when they were born, those two twins, Esau came out and he was red and hairy. You know what Esau means? Hairy. And he, when in Israel, when he would walk up and he'd say, "Hi, I'm hairy," they'd be like, "Dude, with your furry arms, you sure are, right?" You know what I mean? But Jacob actually means one who grabs the heel. We translate that deceiver, one who trips up his brother, but it's actually because when Esau was born, Jacob reached out of the womb and grabbed hold of him like, "You're not getting a hold of me," and they literally named him one who grabs the heel. Crazy. Well, in Elimelech's case, instead of doing what his parents did, his parents named him after the strength and position of his God. He named his children after the frailty of their bodies, right? Something in their life. And that shows a little bit of drifting from God, maybe. He could have named them the same thing. Can you imagine, girls, for a second? You meet a guy. You're all excited. You're going to bring him home to your family. What's his name? Sickly. Come on now. That wasn't very nice. Do you know what Chilion means? It means pining away. Pining away. And he carried these children named Sickly and Pining Away. Maybe in Moab they didn't know what their names meant, so the Moab women didn't care. But in the land of Israel, this was not good for them. And he has led them far, far away. And now they have died also participating in the sins of that land. And here you have Ruth, and she's in this position. And if you were at like a choose your own adventure book at this juncture, and you were to say, "Hey, what do we do if you're Naomi? Do you stick it out in the land of Moab and see how it's going to go?" How would that work out? How would that work out? It's far away from God's plan. Just go ahead and ride it on out because that's where she's at. Well, she would have had a bumpy and uneventful life. But fortunately, she got it in her mind. "I don't like all this brokenness. I want to go back home. I don't like being so far from God. I want to go back home and try things God's way." Read with me, if you will, verse number 6. It's beautiful in the Bible. And the Bible says, number 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving him them bread." This is the first time in this book of the Bible that the Lord is mentioned or in any way, except for in the name of Elimelech. In other words, the first 5 verses, there's no mention of God. It's doing things that God doesn't want us to do. It is broken, broken, broken. But finally, in verse number 6, she says, "I hear there's some good things going on where the Lord is concerned." And what has driven her back to this place, by the way? This is so important that you catch today. Do you know what has driven her back to this place where she might consider the Lord? And she might go home. It is the afflictions of her life. It is the brokenness that sin brings. It is the emptiness. Maybe if you think about it in your life, the depression, the anxiety, those overwhelming circumstances that God uses to call us back home. Do you know what's crazy? Many times in my life, I've seen somebody on a broken road, and when I say to them, "God is trying to use this to get you to go back home," you know what they always say to me? "Well, I don't want to run just back to God every time I get in trouble. I don't want to just run back to God every time I get in trouble." But that's exactly what God wants you to do. That's exactly what God wants you to do. He uses those things to say, "Come to me, come to me, come to me." Do you remember Jonah? God said to Jonah, "Go preach in Nineveh." Jonah was like, "Nope, not going to do that." And he takes off to Tarshish. Do you remember that? And the Bible says he gets on that boat. He found a ship. And all of a sudden he finds himself in a storm. "This is not good. God's mad at me." He actually said to the men, "Throw me overboard." Do you remember that? That's crazy. He full blown does not want to obey God. He does not want to go to Nineveh. And the Bible says they pitch him overboard. And Dion, he's probably thinking, "I'm going down to the bottom of the sea. I'm stubborn. I'm not doing what God wants me to do." When suddenly, what happened? A huge fish swallowed him. Can you imagine that? And the minute you've been swallowed, that's got to feel a little bit like chaos. I mean, give me that one, right? But then the minute you realize, "I'm still alive. This is terrible. I'm going to be digested by a fish." And I imagine that process is just awful, right? So I imagine he's like, "Oh no." And the Bible says, he said, "When my soul fainted within me," when he was in the bottom of the whale's belly, being digested with a salad of a whale's belly wrapped all around him, the Bible says, he said, "When my soul fainted within me then I remembered the Lord, right? And when he remembered the Lord, he called unto the Lord, and that fish vomited him out on the shores of Nineveh, which is exactly where he was supposed to go. Now watch what happened. Jonah walks through Nineveh, preaching, telling them to repent. You know why he was so effective? This dude just got ate by a fish, saying the judgment of God's coming. If you don't repent, he's got the smell of a whale's belly on him. They're like, dude, we better repent. And they did repent. And if you ask Jonah today, what is the very best thing you have ever done in your life? You know what he's going to tell you? The day I brought the mercy and grace of God to the city of Jonah by preaching what God told me to do. He returned to the Lord. It was good for him. Remember the prodigal son? This is critical for our story today. The prodigal son, the Bible says he took his money. CJ had his hands up playing his song, butterflies flying away, right? He spent all that money. He had it going on. It was happy, happy, happy. He wasted his money, but then he ran out and he found himself in a pig pen and he's feeding the pigs and it's all broken. And the Bible actually says this, I wanted to eat the husks that the pig were given, but no man would give them to him. Can you imagine? He fell so low that he couldn't even get the pig food, right? It was terrible for him and he couldn't get it. And in that moment, he thought, I just need to go home. It'd be better to be a servant. This affliction is too much. I don't want this brokenness anymore. I want it out of my life. I'm going back home. Do you know what he could never have imagined? He could never have imagined that his father, who's a picture of God, would run to him and hug him. Can I ask you? Could you use a hug from God today? Anybody in here got some brokenness and you could use a hug? Go home. Go home. He couldn't have imagined that his father would go get the best robe and throw it on him and host a feast. He just thought, I'm just going back. And in Naomi's case, she's got the same experience. She understands, now I'm poor, now I've lost it all, but I just got to get back home. And when you follow the story through, you know that everything begins to get better for her as she begins to walk with God. She begins to head back that way. Do you remember? And the Bible says that somebody said, take me with you. Who was that somebody? Do you remember? Ruth, you remember that she had a daughter-in-law who said, take me with you. I got to tell the story fast. It's almost 12 already. Holy cow. Anyway, the Bible says she said, take me with you. There's some beautiful verses in the story of Ruth that we actually use in a wedding. Go ahead and get them up on the board, if you will. Chapter number 1, 12 through, oh no, 15 and 16, I believe. Chapter number 1, verse 15 and 16, 16 and 17, excuse me. This is what Ruth said to her when she was trying to get back home. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if aught but death doth part me and thee and me. Ruth has never been to the promised land. Ruth has never experienced the plan of God. But she heard from Naomi that it was better back home, and she said, I want to go with you. When she said, your God shall be my God, this is a full-scale conversion. I renounce the gods of my people. I'm embracing your God, and I'm going to try things God's way. Take me with you. And Miss Darlene, do you remember what happened? As soon as she got back to the promised land, she realized that things are done better over here. Remember that Chick-fil-A Taco Bell thing, right? When somebody walks with God, things are just done better over here. And one of the things that was going on in Israel, you got to catch this, is the farmers were told by God himself, when you harvest your crops, so important part of the story, when you harvest your crops, you are not allowed to harvest the corners. You have to leave the corners up and standing. You can't harvest them. Oakland, why were they told not to harvest the corners? We did it in Sunday school. You had a chance for the poor, right? So the poor could go and pick some of the crops and be there. And when she got back to the promised land, she had to understand there's nothing like this in Moab. There ain't nobody over in Moab that is leaving up the corners. God was saying to the farmers, don't be so selfish. Think of other people. Leave the crops up. And so she decides she would avail herself. It's so important. Give me 10 more minutes. She's going to avail herself of this way of God. She's going to try this thing. And she goes out, and the Bible says by total chance, by absolute total chance, she goes to a field of a guy named Boaz. And Boaz is a mighty man of God. The Bible says Boaz is the kind of guy that he says to his worker, "The Lord bless you." And they say back to him, "No, the Lord bless you." And Boaz is generous, and Boaz is obeying God's plan. And there she begins to pick some crops. And when Boaz sees her, he says, what girl is this? And they have an important conversation. If you will, go with me. Chapter number 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" In other words, I'm protecting you. You are safe here. You've come to a good spot. "And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Watch what she does. Verse number 10, first verse. "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself." What? Why would this woman fall on her face? You know what she was not familiar with? The kindness of God, right? The great kindness of God. Grace had fallen on Boaz's life, and he was letting it fall upon her. And she thought, "This is crazy. This is going to be so good for my family if I'm able to take advantage of this place this way." The Bible says she bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not thereof. The Lord recompense thy work," so important, "and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." You know what Boaz said to this girl? "You've come to a good spot. You've come to a safe spot. You've come to a helping spot. You've come to the place where the ways of God are working, and God can move." Do you remember that song our church used to sing? It was, "My ways were filled with danger. I felt alone." Do you remember that? "The enemy had singled me out to do me harm. And when he drew near, my heart filled with fear. I heard someone dear calling me to his side. And I ran where? Under his wings." And later in the song, it had that precious line. It said, "And the storm still rages, but in the rock of ages, I'm resting warmly." Every time I read that verse, if I haven't read it in 5 or 6 months, I promise you my tear ducts begin to flow. Every single time where he says, "You've come to a good place, you've come," to the God of Israel, whose wings thou art come to trust, "you've come to this precious spot." I think of how when I got saved, I was such a sinner. I lied, I cheated, I lust, I stole, I did everything wrong. Why would God ever care for me? But you know what I did? I just trusted Jesus as my Savior. I threw myself on the grace of God. If my dad had said, "You got to run around this house 15 times, I would have taken off running. But he said, "Call out to Jesus." And I did. I cried out to Jesus, and I found safety and help. In my latter teenage years, I got so off track, and I busted my life, and I came running back to Jesus. And his forgiveness and his grace covered me, and he still called me into the ministry. And many times in ministry, I've had a job or a responsibility that was way too big for me. I'm talking about way too big for me. And I go run into those same wings. You know what I found those wings? Those wings are safe. Those wings are strong. Those wings are good, and it's better than you think. You remember the story. This went on for a couple months. Boaz began to drop handfuls on purpose. That's a cool thing. Anybody in here had a handful on purpose ever dropped in your life by God? The Bible says Boaz, he liked her plenty, and he said, "You know what? I'm going to make sure she finds good things." And he began to drop handfuls of those crops on purpose so she could stumble into them. And this went on for 2 months when suddenly Naomi had an idea. Do you remember her idea? It's so funny. Women have their wily ways, the little black dress, right? They got their wily ways, right? And Naomi said to Ruth, she said, "Take a bath." That's what she said. "Put on some nice clothes. Walk softly." And the Bible says she did, and she presented herself to Boaz. And if I could give you a loose translation of Boaz's attitude was, "Hey, hey, hey." And the Bible says she said, "We're kinsmen, and you could marry me," essentially. "You could marry me because my husband's dead." And Boaz said, "I like that." And he literally married her. And in just a few months, trying the plan of God, she went from being a poor, poor widow to the young wife of a rich, generous, amazing man named Boaz. And we hear this story and we go, wow, what a transition from a life of brokenness to a life that's being put back together by God. But when I say to you, I'll just fast forward this because I'm out of time. When I say this to you, when I say, I truly do believe if you would walk with God, just like the prodigal son, just like Naomi, just like Ruth, you would find it better than you thought it could be. The Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I just did not want to go to hell. That was my only motivation for getting saved. Literally, I did not want to go to hell, and I threw myself on the grace of God. But listen to what happened. I also got the greatest friend of my life. I remember the night I got saved, such a peace fell on my life. It was foreign. It was like from a different planet. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. In the days to come, God would guide me and lead me. I go do something. Don't do that. Go this way. I found a friend and a guide and a help. When I went to the children's home, I didn't have a clue. You got to hear what I'm about to say. I didn't have a clue I get to raise a kid that I get to be a deacon with. How cool is that for me? I didn't have a clue that CJ and Amanda Martin would be so kind and name their oldest son after me. What a treasure and a sweet thing. I got to tell you a story about Nick Goodwin. Nick Goodwin, do you guys know him? Precious kid that grew up in our children's home. He was here the other day. He told me last night I could tell this story. Nick Goodwin, he did the right thing, walked with God, was committed to good things before marriage. He married this girl who's a nurse. He spent the bulk of his childhood at our children's home. He got a college degree. She's a nurse. Their life is good. A few months ago, they bought their first house, and bada boom, bada bing, she's pregnant. I'm announcing it to church. She's pregnant. And Nick came to me, and this is what he said. This is precious. Nick came to me, and he said, you know, Uncle B, I'm nervous because I want to make sure I can take care of this kid. But he goes, you know what's pretty special, Uncle B? First time in my life, I'm going to meet somebody I'm related to. I'm 27 years old. I've never met a relative. I've never met somebody. I said he was adopted as a baby, and that marriage fell apart, and they ended up at the children's home. And I'm going to meet somebody. And you know why I cry today? Because that baby's going to grow up surrounded by the love of Jesus. That baby's going to grow up in church. That baby's going to have something totally different in their life. Try things God's way. I got to be honest with you, Max. When I started the tree lot, just diving in, trying to do what God told me to do, I could never have dreamed Friday night. I could never have dreamed what you experienced Friday night in that awesome game. Max had the game of his life. And I say that because at the tree lot, God opened up the door for us to go to North Cobb Christian. Way too good. Way too good. Way too good. Come home. Come home. Repent. God, I'm sorry. I don't want that no more. Maybe you're in this place today as the musicians come, and you'd say, you know what? I can recognize some handfuls that have been dropped in my life on purpose, and I just want to say thank you to God. But maybe you're here today, and your life has gotten off the rails, and you've allowed some things into your life that should never have been in your life, and you would do the best thing, and it is, I repent. Can you imagine if Naomi said, well, just going to ride it on out in Moab. Just going to ride it out on Moab. Here's the final part of the story as Brother Randy comes. The Bible says Boaz married her, listen, and they had a child together. Give you a dollar. Do you know his name? His name was Obed. And the reason you should know sweet Obed's name, Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David the king, who wrote those great psalms and changed the world and killed Goliath. How many of you, by raising your hands today, how many have ever met your great-grandmother? I have. Do you ever met your great-grandmother? 50% chance Ruth heard David play his harp. 50%. It was way better. It was way better than she ever thought it could be. They laid that baby in the arms of Naomi, and now her family was not going to come to an end because they had heritage. It is so good back home. There's challenges back home, but they're with the help of God. Maybe you're here today as you rise to your feet. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This message is for you. This message is for you. God would like to wash all your sins away. God would like to bring you into the family of God. Maybe you've got your life off the rails and you'd like to come to an altar. Or maybe you just want to come thank the Lord for his goodness to us. I'm going to pray and then they'll sing. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, hey, come home. God, we love you today. We thank you for the message. We thank you for these truths that we have learned and seen in the scriptures, God. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would do what only you can do. I can't prick hearts. I can't touch hearts. I can't convert a life. I cannot jump into somebody's body. If I could, I would have. When I said, you promised her parents, God. I'm so weak. Only you can do that, oh God. So I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would do your perfect work. You chose this sermon. I knew no one was going to be here when you gave me this sermon. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would use it the way that you want to do. Look our way. Breathe on us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If the Lord spoke into your heart, you come. And if you need somebody to pray with you, you just let us know. It's a great spot where you can find some help from the Lord. Wise people bend their knees before the King.
Today, try me, oh Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray, see.
Need a hug from the King?
And cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Bent knees are a beautiful sign to the Lord. A beautiful sign to the Lord. You don't got this.
Our God, we bow our heads and our hearts before you, and we thank you, Lord, for those who have responded. We thank you for such a kind message that you sent to us, God. You want us home, Father, Lord. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you're still reaching. Thank you that you're involved and you see us where we are, God. And I pray that even for those who didn't come, but they bowed their head before you in their seat, that God, you would hear their prayer in a very tangible way. You would demonstrate to them that you care and that you're looking their way. And help us, Lord, to be close to you where we can find your great help. I pray, Father, Lord, if there's somebody in this place that never, that didn't have the courage or wasn't able to come down, but they want to talk to somebody and they've got something broken in their life that they want to get turned around, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you'd give them the strength to find somebody to talk to today. We got deacons and helpers here that could do that. And we just pray it should be moved. And Father, I pray especially for that one today that has not trusted you as their Savior. It's crazy, God. The help of God, wait and wait and wait. And God, please get through that shell and let your love bust through and help them to trust you as your Savior. I ask that humbly as I know how, and I ask you to help our sweet church. Thank you for the wonderful people that are here. Thank you for your good ways, and we love you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Brother Celia, do we have any announcements? Sir? I'm sorry. Yes, can you tell? The funeral for Miss Marcia Turner's husband is today at 1 o'clock. 5 o'clock is what? Help me. Forgive me. I don't know what I said. Somebody say it right. I was trying to hear what he said.
Miss Marcia, most of you have seen this, and you know that her dad went home to be with the Lord this week. So at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I believe, is the service for her dad.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. I'm sorry. 2 o'clock.
We said 1, 2, and 3. Hit us in the middle. Hit 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. All right. Please remember them in prayer. And also, choir practice this afternoon. I'm calling all choir members. 4 o'clock. Please be here this afternoon as we get ready for homecoming. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge over the next couple of weeks to get all the practice in that we need. So please be here today at 4 o'clock for choir practice. We'll also have a special choir practice on the morning of homecoming at 9 o'clock. So please go ahead and mark that down, 9 o'clock on the morning of homecoming. That is not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, September the 7th. Choir practice today at 4. Please remember the family today for the service at 2 o'clock.
Hey, my awesome sister Lynn's here today, and my sweet niece Isabella. You guys say hey to them. God bless you. I hope you have a great day. Thank you for being